today is the last day of February. Hee-hee! Tomorrow is the first day of March. Hee-hee! Spring is just about 3 weeks away. Yee-hee! Hallelujah. Warm weather is coming. Snow is disappearing. Praise God. Yes, the only problem with spring is the mud. But I'll tell you, finally all this ice is off the roof. Finally things are trying to straighten out. So praise God for that. Took the plow off yesterday. Hopefully I won't put it back on again. Never know though, right? It's easy to take on and off. That's one of the easiest plows I've ever had. The other old plows I've had, you forget it. Crawl underneath, you know, get 2 or 3 or 10 people trying to figure out how to get the thing on. This one here is so easy, even a 67-year-old can do it. Amen. With half a brain. Anyway, all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and before you stand, and we're going to read the entire chapter, because I'm preaching the entire chapter today, I want to read one verse, and then I'll ask you to stand. And that one verse, you don't need to turn to it, I'm just going to read it. It's from 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those things of God are spiritually discerned or understood. Now, if you would, stand as we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All 18 verses. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. Or in your situation, 18. All right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are, say it, eternal. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have something going around this world, especially in this country, and even in our Christian circles, in our Christian churches, we have something that is called people believing in conspiracy theories. Maybe you fall into that category. Maybe there's 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 that you might hang on to, you like to think about. We've got the flat earth people. which to me makes no sense because the Bible speaks of the circle of the earth. But we have people today in, listen, I know somebody. Not that I know of in this church. If you are a flat earth guy or gal, see me after the service. All right? We'll talk. But I do know a Bible believer, supposedly, in another church that believes that the earth is flat. I just have not been able to grab a hold of that yet. It's a conspiracy theory. There are people that believe that the moon landing many years ago was fake. It was not really, didn't really happen. There are those that believe that the September 11th, 2001 was all planned by the government, or it was a demolition to bring down the Twin Towers and that a plane did not do that kind of work. I've heard the arguments. I've heard people. I've heard some of you say, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. Just that's all it is to me. And so we have all of this stuff going on. We've got those that still believe that Elvis Presley is still alive somewhere. He's got to be way over 100 by now. I forget when he was. I don't know when he was born. But we've got people that believe, and you heard it with Brother Grady, that people believe that the Sandy Hook massacre was staged. We have people that they think that John F. Kennedy was not killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, but that it was some other conspiracy going. You know what? And some of this may be true. I don't know. But I don't sit around wondering and concentrating on that stuff. You need to stay off the internet. Because you get all this junk from the internet. Some of you people, you jump on YouTube and you're there all day long. And ooh, look at this. And you're just floating from one thing to another. And you got this conspiracy and this conspiracy. And you're sitting there in your chair and you're saying it all must be true. It's on YouTube. It's on the internet. There's thousands of conspiracy theories out there today. I was trying, you know, for the preparing this message yesterday, I was going through trying, you know, get some of them, and there's so many of them. I says, I'm not wasting my time on all of that. I just mentioned a few to you, and you probably have got some that I don't even know about. Some of you probably believe in some of them. I don't know. But, and I know that there's always the theory. There's the conspiracy theory, and you've got your reasons for it. Well, they've seen this one. They've done this, and they've been here, and they've photographed this, and they've, you know, and it could be true. I don't waste my time on that stuff. I'm not a conspiracy theory person. Maybe you are. If you are, you know what? You and God deal with it. How's that? All right? But let me say this. Getting into this message. The greatest conspiracy in the universe is from Satan himself. There are some things that Satan does not want you to know. And we're going to cover them in this passage of Scripture, these 18 verses. I think a lot of conspiracy theory start with the devil. To get people off on rabbit trails and stop thinking about the Word of God and stop thinking about the things of God. And you get your little following. You got these groups here, the flat earth people. And so you follow the flat earth people. And what they say makes so much sense, which I have never figured that out yet. I know that that map is flat on the wall, but it doesn't mean that the world is flat. Amen? But, you know, again, and they have the reasons, and I've heard some of the reasons. And but, again, I think you should just stay off the internet and stop watching all those crazy things on television and spend more time in your Bible and more time in prayer. And if you want to believe some of those things, why don't you ask the Lord to show you the truth? But Satan, the devil, holds the greatest conspiracy theory of all time. By blinding the minds of people so they can't see the truth. Folks, that's a conspiracy. Admit it, that's a conspiracy. Say amen. That's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy by Satan himself. He has conspired against God. He is doing everything he can to literally turn the world away from God. He wants to turn Christians away from God. So he has a conspiracy theory. And we're going to look at those conspiracy theories today from this passage of Scripture. Not some of the, not the Elvis and the JFK and the 9/11 and all the, you know, all of those other ones. We're not going to get into those. Those are things that you, if you want to believe in them or get into them, you can do that on your own. We're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about these particular things. And so there are some things that Satan does not want you to have any knowledge about at all. He does not want you to know about these things. And so he's been covering up and conspiring against God since the day that he fell and gave in to sin. He conspired in the Garden of Eden. He conspired with Eve, specifically. He's conspired. He conspired with David when he had David number the troops, number the people there. He's been conspiring since day one to try to get people to turn their back on God. And guess what? He's conspiring with you too. And me. He's conspiring. And it's sad when some Christians believe what he has offered as a conspiracy theory. Let's take a look at these. I got a whole bunch of them listed here. The first one is found there in verse 2. Paul says, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That word renounce means denied or rejected the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And I get the idea about the conspiracy theory here from verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's a conspiracy. You want to talk about conspiracy theories? That is a conspiracy. Satan has blinded the minds. But I see in verse 2 that Satan does not want you to know anything about the true Word of God. The Word of God. The truth. That God has given us a copy of His Word. The Bible tells us there in verse 2, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. You are responsible, ladies and gentlemen, to read this book. You are responsible to get from God what He wants you to have from this book on a daily basis. My responsibility is to read this Bible every day and get from this book what God has for me. And then to deliver to you Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights what God would have for you. But that's as far as it goes. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't just trust a preacher to give you everything that you need for your life through a message. We're gonna spend not even 45 minutes, maybe 45 minutes to an hour on the message today. We'll spend some time tonight. 45 minutes to an hour tonight, somewhere around there. A Wednesday night's a little bit less, but that's not giving you enough to live on. How about if you only eat Sunday morning and Sunday night and a Wednesday night? Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you aren't allowed to eat anything. You'd be running around, give me food, give me food, give me food. But that's the way some of you are, not you. I'm not saying you personally, but if the shoe fits, put it on. But that's how some Christians operate today. They get spiritually fed just in a church service. And if they don't come to church, maybe they'll watch us online and they think that they're getting spiritually fed with all of the spiritual nourishment and nutrients that they need. But that's not the way it goes. To the lost, the Word of God has been hid. Amen. To the lost, the Word of God has been hid. Satan's been playing hide and seek with the Word of God since day one. He has tried to hide the Word of God away from people so they don't read it, understand it, live it. He'll do everything in his power to do that. That's what the Bible tells us there in that verse. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The Word of God is it's blinded. They don't understand it. You know that. You were lost at one time. You didn't understand the Bible until you got saved. You can't understand the Bible until you get saved. Then you have start to gain some understanding of the Word of God. And you're not going to understand everything your entire life. You have to continually read and study, but you're going to see things like you've never seen before once you get saved. The blinders are off. Now when you read, you say, wow, that makes a lot of sense. But the Word of God has been removed by Satan. If he can get it out of the entire realm of man's existence, then he has accomplished something great. Even Christians at times seem to be blinded of the wonders of this book. Christians. Psalm 119, verse 18, the Bible says, and I pray this every time I read the Bible, but open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, open my eyes. My spiritual eyes. Lord, if I have a blinder, if I have blinders on my eyes, remove them. Take them off. So when I read the Bible, I can see, it makes sense. Lord can give you the things that you need. Look at Ephesians. You're close by, right? Just turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. God has given to us everything that we need to know from this Bible. This is what He wants you and I to know. There's 66 books. There's 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. And God has given us exactly what we need here in this book. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. There are a lot of Christians that have no idea what God's will is for their life. No idea. God's never showed me. Well, have you ever asked Him to show you what His will is for your life? Have you ever gone to God? Have you ever opened up the book and said, God, please point me in the right direction? And so we see that that's what the Lord wants to enlighten us. The Lord wants to allow us to see the hope of His calling. The Lord wants us to have this knowledge, the wisdom and revelation in verse 17. God has things that He wants to show us. Satan says, no, you don't need to read that Bible every day. Or you know what? You can just read a little devotional. Pick up a days of prayer. That's all you need every day. Just read a little devotional. Go on your little handheld device or on your computer and just read a little devotional. No, that's not going to do it. Yeah, eat a cracker every day and see how hungry you will get. I'll just eat a little cracker every day. Yeah, just a little saltine. Give you a little sodium, whatever those things are made out of. That's just eat that every day. It's like, that's the way some Christians partake of the Word of God. It's a little saltine every day. You can't survive on that. And spiritually, you can't survive on just a little devotional every day. You need to open up the book and you need to read Scripture. I personally believe that our Bible reading plan here, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, Proverbs, is one of the best balanced way to get Scripture that you can get it. You're not just hit and miss. You know, I'll read a chapter here today and tomorrow I'll read a chapter way over there, or I'll go way back over here. And, you know, that's not the way you read your Bible. You've got to have a system. You need to be reading it. You need to be getting... I love to get the Old and the New Testament together. And that's the way that I feel that my life, my spiritual life feels more balanced that way. You want to have a balanced diet, right, in your life? Right? Do you ever remember that food pyramid? Remember that? Right? Don't you take that to the restaurant every time you go to the restaurant? Wait a minute, sir. Let me look at my food pyramid. Oh, I need some of these. That's not how you do that. But we, over time, we try to gain some knowledge as to what foods are good for us and what foods are not good for us. We're trying to get a little bit more healthy, Kathy and I. We're trying to eat healthier, you know, more leafy greens and broccoli. You know, things like that. One thing that I have to do is I got to get rid of those sugars. But I have found apple pie. No, listen to me. Hear me out. People, please. This is what I'm trying to help you. An apple pie with no sugar added is fantastic. Amen. No sugar added. So if you want to get me an apple pie, you find an apple pie. Sometimes they're this big. No sugar added. You take the sweetness from the apples, and that's plenty of sugar that you need. No crust. All right. Well, I like the filling. I do. Anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? But that's how we want to make sure that we eat healthy. That's the best thing for us. We got to get the fruits and the veggies and, you know, the stuff that you're supposed to eat. And that's how we are with the Word of God. We need a healthy diet of the Bible. We need to make sure that we're getting the nutrients and the nourishment from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible. Go back to John chapter 8. John 8. We're like everybody else. We go through these little phases in our life, right? Go through a phase. We go through a health phase. Oh, we got to get healthy. You know, blood pressure's way up here. I want to get it way down here. And so you need to eliminate some of this and some of that and put in some of this and some of that. And so, you know, you want to be healthy at this age. You know, I'm looking to try to be as healthy as I can for as long as I can. But we go through these, right? It's like this, you know. I'll eat healthy for a little while and then all of a sudden fall off the wagon. And then you know, back on. We've gone without sugars for months. We felt so much better. And then somebody brings you a pie or a cake and eat one of those things, candies, and then, oh well. It's not all bad. It's not all bad. We're talking about the spiritual things. John 8, verse 31. Yeah, I am hungry. I've said this a couple times. I sure hope this microphone on the online doesn't pick up my tummy growling. I should probably move it way up here somewhere. I don't eat before church in the morning, so you get a little hungry by the time 1 o'clock comes. John 8:31, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Continue in the word. It's a constant. Read the Bible. Continue. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. My word hath no place in you. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You know the verse probably. Some of you can quote it. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. I'll turn over and read it so I don't mess it up. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Satan does not want you to know about the word of God. Satan does not want you to think that God's word is important for your daily living, spiritual living. And he's accomplished that with many. Some would rather just watch TV all day instead of spend any time in God's Word. Some would rather just be on their little devices all day instead of spending time in God's Word. Some would rather do other things without spending time in God's Word, without putting time aside. Listen, it is a discipline. You don't discipline yourself, you won't do it. You won't. If you don't, say, I got to get up earlier, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to eliminate this, you won't do it. You've got to discipline yourself to do this. Satan will do everything he can to eliminate that from you. You start reading the Word of God, you get drowsy, you get sleepy, you have all these thoughts coming into your brain, all of a sudden the phones are ringing and you're getting texts and the computer is beeping and the lights are flashing and all the, I'm exaggerating a little bit. People are coming in, stopping by, kids need this or that, whatever. But you need to discipline yourself to read the Bible. Read the Bible. The devil is trying to hide the Word of God from us. It's a conspiracy. And this is not one of those conspiracies that doesn't matter. This is a conspiracy that matters. And maybe the devil has accomplished some things with your own life when it comes to the Bible. You know I harp on this a lot. I understand. You hear it a lot. I get tired of hearing that preacher all the time. Then just start doing what you're supposed to do. And you won't get tired of hearing it. I never get tired of hearing a good message on the Bible, on reading the Bible, and I think it's great. I don't get tired of hearing messages on salvation, on heaven, on hell, or any of those things, because those are things that we need. But there's a conspiracy going on that some of you have swallowed hook, line, and sinker. And you need to get back into the Word of God again. The second thing that we see that Satan is trying to hide through a conspiracy is the glorious gospel message. The gospel message, listen, saves souls. How are people saved today? How were you saved? By just attending a Baptist church? Attending another church? Just by getting dunked in the tank? By shaking the preacher's hand? By putting money into an offering? By doing good works? Being a good neighbor? Being a good employee? Being a good employer? Just being a good guy? Being an American? Being a Christian? Parent, come from Christian heritage? That's not what saves you. You get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. That's how you were saved, if you're saved. I said, if you're saved, that's how you were saved. It was a personal thing that you did with Jesus Christ. It was you and Him. You recognized the fact that you were a sinner. You believed that Jesus died for your sins and shed His blood for you. And you called upon Him. You asked Him to save you. If you have never called upon Him and asked Him to save you, you're not saved. It doesn't just come by osmosis, by just being in the building or being near the preacher or some other godly person. That's not how a person is saved. But the devil has, look around. Look at the different religions today that we have. Look at the different churches today that we have that don't preach the Word of God, that don't preach the gospel. There's a conspiracy going on. Wake up, Christian, and realize there's a conspiracy by the devil himself to hide the glorious gospel. The gospel saves souls, and the devil doesn't want that news out. Doesn't want the gospel message out. Our little churches like this, we're in a minority, it seems like, today. Boy, the other churches downtown, they got hundreds of people going in them today and got their coffee cups and their donuts and they're enjoying life and everything is wonderful and they hear a nice little ear-tickling sermon and everybody's doing great, or the preacher gets up, if he or she, we got a bunch of she's here. We got one that doesn't know what he is yet, but anyway, I don't want to get into that. I'll get comments. but we've got this stuff going on today that is just totally against the Word of God. There's a conspiracy going on. The devil doesn't want the news out that Jesus Christ saves, that the gospel is the gospel that keeps people out of hell. The devil doesn't want that out. 1 Corinthians 15, you know the gospel, right? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us what the gospel is. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's the gospel message. We are to present the gospel message. We are to present the gospel message in our services. We are to present the gospel message when we're out and about, by inviting people to church, giving out gospel tracts, telling people how to be saved. That's the gospel. But Satan doesn't want that. He'll do everything he can to stifle that. He'll say, no, don't give that person a tract. They're bigger and more powerful than you are. They'll punch you in the nose if you give them a tract. Or don't invite that person to church. You know they're going to say no anyway, so just ignore it. You don't know what they're going to say. And even if they say no, you still have done what you're supposed to do. And God will still bless and honor that somehow, some way. The devil is trying to cover up the gospel. And I got to say this, honestly, he's done a tremendous job. He has done a fantastic job as far as I'm concerned. Because I know what some of these other churches around and other religions and cults, they teach and preach. They don't teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a conspiracy. It's the greatest conspiracy in the entire universe. And it's the conspiracy that goes against Jesus Christ and it goes against God. Thirdly, verses 4 and 5, we see that Satan does not want you to know that Jesus Christ, listen to me, is God. Now, I put a funny little... Did you see the little cartoon I put in the bulletin? Yeah. See the cartoon I put in the bulletin? Some of you see. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, the cartoon in the bulletin. Okay, if you have a bulletin, you can open it up. Oh, yeah, there it is. And cute little thing BJ sent me this week. It says, well, if it isn't Joseph and Mary, and on the bump, these are bumper stickers on the back of donkeys. If you needed help with that. One of them says, our son is an honor student. You've seen those bumper stickers? Yeah. Woohoo! Second one is, our son is in medical school. Great. And Mary's donkey is, our son is God. Amen. She gave birth. Joseph was not part of it, except he was just there, you know. She gave birth to God Almighty. God. Every cult denies that Jesus Christ is God. Every cult. I'm saying cult. Every cult denies that Jesus Christ is God. Many claim that he is a created being or he is a created God. Lowercase g, by the way. Muslims believe that Jesus was to be revered as a prophet and an apostle of God. They do not believe that he was more than this. That's Muslims. Hindus are more than willing to acknowledge Jesus as divine if he is not seen as uniquely divine. In other words, he's not God. Hindus often worship millions of gods and goddesses and are most of them are eager to even put Jesus within those gods and goddesses. In other words, Jesus is equal to all of their other gods. If they worship the cobra, Jesus is equal to the cobra. If they worship a rock, then Jesus is equal to the rock. That's what Hindus believe. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that God the Father, whose name is Jehovah, is the only true God, and that Jesus Christ is his firstborn son, but he's inferior to God. And he was created by God. The Holy Spirit is not a person and God's not an active force. Or the Spirit of God is not an active force. Mormons teach that Jesus Christ was helped by Adam and others in creating the world. Jesus was born because of a physical union between God, the Father, and Mary. A physical union. Jesus was also, they say, married on earth. And there are sins that man must atone for himself because Jesus' blood cannot cleanse them. Folks, Jesus is God. But again, we see that Satan doesn't want you to know that. I'm not giving any credit to the devil today, but he has done a job in getting people to turn away from the fact that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Well, we could go on and on and on with what these cults, some of these cults believe as far as Christ and other things. We don't have time for that. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. One of the greatest verses in the entire Bible that explains that Jesus Christ is God. There are several, but this is a good one. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. You can't refute that. You can try. You can argue with it. Well, it doesn't really, I don't think it really says that. Well, read the words. Dummy. Amen. Amen. Read the words. The words make it very clear that Jesus Christ is God. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews 1, 8. Hebrews 1, 8. Another fantastic passage. But unto the Son, capital S-O-N, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Well, I don't think it says that. Read the words. Read the words. What does it say? Don't try to argue with it. Just believe it. It's that simple. Just believe it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not the Jehovah Witness Bible where it says the Word was a God. They've changed that. The New World Translation, they've changed it to a God. They just inserted the word a in there. No, he's not a God, he is the God. And so Satan doesn't want you to know that. Folks, there's a conspiracy going on. And it's being believed by way too many people. But there's a conspiracy going on. Let me give you one more. We've got a bunch more, but let me give you one more. Let's go back to our text. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Well, let me read 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Number 4, here's the fourth thing that Satan doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know as a Christian that you're supposed to witness for the Lord. He doesn't want you to do that. Because if you do that, you're getting the gospel message out. You're sharing with other people the need to be saved. You're telling people about Jesus Christ and how he died for them and shed his blood for them. We are to be witnesses for the Lord. What is the worth of a soul? Look at Mark. Mark tells us in Mark 8, 36 through 38, the worth of a soul. Mark 8, 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What is a soul worth? It's worth more than all the world put together. That's what a soul is worth. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we're to be salt and light. Matthew 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. We are salt and light. We are commanded to tell the world about Christ. Yes? Amen. We're commanded. It's the Great Commission. It's the Great Command. It's what, call it whatever you want. But the devil is trying to cover up our need to witness. Conspiracy. Amen. There's a conspiracy going on, and it's run by the devil, that he does not want you to know that we are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to witness, to be witness, and to give our testimonies as to what the Lord has done for us and how he has saved us, how he has saved me, how he has saved you. Again, our text says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are to give that knowledge out. We've got the light within. We're supposed to let the light shine out. Amen. People are supposed to see the light of the gospel. Where are they going to see it? They're not going to see it in our government. They're not going to see it in the world. They're not going to see it on TV. They're going to see it in us. Us. That light is shined out through our eyes and through our countenance and through the way that we talk and the way we act with one another. That's how the light is to be, to shine forth. We are to be witnesses for the Lord according to verse 6. I got a bunch more. We'll pick this up tonight. I have too many to finish now. Folks, there's a conspiracy going on. And I want you after today to realize how important this conspiracy is and how the devil is trying to do everything he can. He knows he's on borrowed time. He knows that his end is coming. He knows this book. You know the devil knows this Bible? He's quoted it before. He knows what it says. He knows his doom. But he'll do everything in his power to try to do whatever he can before he's doomed into the lake of fire forever to stop whatever good God wants done for God. I call it a conspiracy. You call it whatever you want, but I call it a conspiracy. And it's flourishing around this world. And only you and I can do something about it. So let's do our part. Let's get in this book where we're supposed to be every day and get the spiritual nourishment that we need. Let's get that gospel message out clearly. Clearly. Don't confuse people with all kinds of things that doesn't matter for nothing when you're talking to a lost person. You got to get them to focus on Jesus Christ. You got to get them to focus on the fact that he died for them, that he loves them so much. You want to throw hell in there? You can throw hell in there. But the problem today is we're not focusing, getting people to focus on Jesus Christ, on the cross, on his death, on his burial, on his resurrection. We're not telling people that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. People need to know God's true love for us, that he loves us. There's a conspiracy going on and the devil is ahead of it. As he's ahead of a lot of conspiracies that go on today. Don't let the devil's lies get to you where you don't spend time in that book every day and you don't get the gospel out and you're not a witness for the Lord. And I know probably, I think everybody here believes that Jesus is God. Amen? Amen. Believe that? I hope you believe that because it's true. There's a conspiracy to reverse that or to change that or to diminish that. But Jesus is our God. He's creator. He is savior. He is a sustainer of life. And he's very special. If he's not your special savior, he can be that today. Take the time and ask Jesus Christ to save you, forgive you of your sins, and call upon him to save your soul. That is extremely needed today. Don't believe the lies of the devil, that you don't need salvation, that you don't need Christ, that you don't need this book, that you don't need anything to do with God, because we all do. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts right now, every one of us. Lord, you know who's lost, who's